Les colloques du Collège de France.
Bonjour à tous, merci beaucoup pour l'invitation. Je n'ai pas sens pas confiant dans mon français, pourquoi je fais la présentation en anglais. So I'll switch into English now. Sorry for my French, I understand, but I don't feel confident enough to make a presentation in French. First of all, I would like you all to stand up for a second, please.
Ah bon.
And if this is just an excuse to send a picture of you all back to Uruguay, so I'll make a selfie if you Thank you, and it's also an excuse for you to have your bloodstream a little bit like renovated after all these presentations. So I will have to do some effort in situating Uruguay. Uruguay is located in South America's Atlantic coast. It's twice the size of Portugal, but we are less populated. We have a smaller population. It's 3.5 million inhabitants and around 12 million cows. So it's more than three cows per person. So 91% of the homes have internet access, 72% have high-speed internet connection, 83% of the population use the internet daily, and 21% of the Uruguayans home own a Ceibal device. So Ceibal, the agency I run, I am the president of the board of that agency, has been around since 2007, and it started as the first implementation of the One Laptop Per Child program in Uruguay. And in many places, in many international forums, it's been celebrated as the only place where it was successful. And I want to say that that's not true. In Uruguay, it wasn't successful at the beginning. The only reason it's depicted as if it was successful is because we transformed it in what it is today, the National Innovation Agency for Education Technology of the Uruguayan government, the Uruguayan state. So I want to share some numbers with you, not to show off, that would be very Argentinian, and I am a Uruguayan, but it's just to put some context into how Uruguay is different in the region, and some of the accomplishments that Ceibal made were possible because of these countries' characteristics. So Uruguay has the strongest democratic system, so it has the number one, democratic index in Latin America, the best GDP per capita, the Gini index, prosperity index, in terms of digital government, in terms of a free country in respect to economic freedom. 97% of the electricity we generate comes from renewable sources. The digital quality of life index and the literacy rate. All those characteristics made the story of Ceibal possible and the evolution of our digital transformation system to be successful. So Uruguayan education landscape, it's kind of complex, it's complicated. We have a ministry of education that doesn't run the schools in the everyday day-to-day operations. So we have a Ministry of Education. We have the National Administration of Public Education that is called there like ANEP. And then we have Ceibal, which is the National Innovation Agency for Education Technology. And all those three organizations are really important for the education landscape, but they are autonomous. And that was created, and this is also one of the reasons why democracy in Uruguay is so strong. For example, the National Administration of Public Education was created independent and autonomous from the Ministry of Education so that the electoral blows were not influencing education so much. It's been very good in some aspects, and it's been very complicated in other aspects, because that autonomy sometimes creates isolation. This sense that we can do everything without help from anyone else, and we are the only people in charge of taking decisions in education. And we know for a fact that that doesn't work. So when all those circles converge the most, then is when the education landscape in Uruguay works the best. But it depends on every cycle of elections. So having said that, it's very hard to put 16 years in the shortest, let's say, talk possible. So I am going to show you a video about these 16 years of evolution of Ceibal.
Tener una visión.
What many are calling a revolutionary new product, the iPhone.
Soñar. Buscar nuevas formas de conexión.
On college campuses, it's called the Facebook.
It's a name you can't forget. It's called Twitter.
Construir el futuro.
Osmo, you let me know when you're ready.
I am ready.
All right.
El éxito no está en las ideas, sino en desarrollar la secuencia de acciones necesaria para alcanzar el objetivo.
Uruguay fue el primer país de América que asumió el desafío de darle una computadora a cada niño que asiste a sus escuelas públicas.
Es el día 1. Uruguay se propone un límite de 3 años para pasar de la nada a 400.000 escolares manejando sus computadoras y conectados al mundo por Internet.
Y a mí mi maestra me dijo que iban a llegar las computadoras, entonces yo me puse feliz.
¿Qué tal la nueva amiguita que llegó a la escuela?
La computadora es mía y como es laptop la puedo llevar a cualquier lado.
Y cuando la llevé a mi casa fue una novedad porque todo quería saber cómo se manejaba.
El computador central de cada escuela, el servidor, es el centro de distribución de Internet.
Teníamos acceso a Internet antes y descubrimos un montón de cosas.
Tuvimos que, los maestros, replantearnos y redimensionar nuestro rol, nuestra manera de dar clase.
Yo quiero ser navegante.
Pero esto era solo el comienzo. En el año 2010, seguimos ampliando el alcance de los dispositivos más allá de las escuelas.
Los adolescentes de enseñanza media se incorporan al proceso.
Reproductores de video, editores de imágenes, fotos también puedes sacar. Muy buena la máquina.
Ahora cada estudiante puede acceder a los libros de texto de forma gratuita mediante la Biblioteca País. A través del programa Aprender Todos, recibimos a las primeras familias. Se sumaron las maestras de apoyo Ceibal y maestras dinamizadoras. Nos incorporamos al sistema de formación docente y ya creíamos que la distancia no podía ser una barrera para el aprendizaje. So we started to teach English by a video conference system. Así, en 2012 cumplimos nuestros primeros 5 años.
El motivo de este encuentro es celebrar que hace 5 años, Cardal vio nacer el plan Ceibal.
Muchos de aquellos objetivos que nos planteamos al inicio ya estaban logrados. Sin embargo, seguimos avanzando. Crecimos, necesitábamos más espacios y creamos un lugar para encontrarnos. Nos expandimos a través de nuevas plataformas educativas y espacios para experimentar con la tecnología. Algo así como laboratorios, pero tecnológicos y digitales. Nos juntamos a compartir nuestras ideas, siempre buscando nuevas formas de pensar y resolver los problemas. Construimos nuevas alianzas más allá de nuestras fronteras. Nos sumamos a quienes están explorando nuevos caminos y junto a NEP integramos la Red Global de Aprendizajes. Y en 2017 cumplimos nuestros primeros 10 años.
El hecho de ir a participar a otro país representando a Uruguay, jamás nos imaginamos que nos fuera a suceder eso.
Pero todavía quedaba mucho por hacer. Nació el programa Jóvenes a Programar, ampliando el horizonte laboral de jóvenes por fuera del sistema educativo. Implementamos el primer piloto de pensamiento computacional, lanzamos las placas Microbit, instalamos el primer Ceilab y reuniendo a toda la comunidad de estudiantes y docentes, nos juntamos para formarnos y compartir nuestras experiencias con gente de todas partes del mundo.
4 casos confirmados de coronavirus en Uruguay.
Y cuando todo parecía detenerse,
van a suspender las clases en los centros públicos, los centros privados, a todo nivel.
Nos reinventamos. Con el cambio como constante, seguimos innovando. Fortalecimos nuestra estructura para poner todo nuestro ecosistema al servicio de estudiantes y docentes. Activamos una modalidad de enseñanza virtual con ambientes de aprendizaje a distancia. El sistema Conferences se agrega a CREA y se gestiona acceso gratuito sin consumo de datos. Exploramos nuevos espacios. Combinamos redes sociales, televisión nacional y diferentes plataformas para llegar a docentes, estudiantes y familias. Lo que antes se hacía en un solo lugar, ahora ocurría al mismo tiempo en todo el país. Seguimos acercando la tecnología, adaptándonos a cada estudiante. Creamos contenidos educativos. Pusimos toda nuestra información a disposición. Y celebramos el esfuerzo de quienes día a día se animan a innovar. Hoy tomamos impulso y seguimos caminando. Ahora como centro de innovación en tecnologías para la educación. Sabiendo que estos son solo nuestros primeros 15 años.
So, as you can see, Ceibal is more than just one laptop per child program. It began as a project to bridge the digital divide, but it has evolved since then because we had this insight that the digital divide was like the matryoshkas dolls. Do you know those dolls that are one inside of each other? So when we solved for connectivity, for access to every single school kid to devices, to computers, then we saw that wasn't enough. There were some kids who weren't benefiting from those technologies. Then we thought it should be connectivity. We provided internet connection to every single school, broadband internet connection to every single school, and then that wasn't enough. We provided platforms, and that wasn't enough. We provided digital citizenship programs, and that wasn't enough. So we see this equity problem. And I am so glad that Elise, Jean-Michel, and Philippe were before me, because it's so much easier to explain how complex it is to maintain quality while thinking about equity in terms to the access to the future in an equitable way in all the country. In Uruguay, we have 500 schools, 500 rural schools with 7,000 students. So there are so many schools with one, two, or three students. But in those schools, we also need to be able to make learning English and learning computational thinking available. And there's no way we can have enough teachers. And with the video conferencing system that we deployed, because of all this infrastructure, we have universalized the teaching of English and the teaching of computational thinking at all the primary level. Right now, we have 100% of access to devices in for our kids. We don't not only give the devices, but we repair the devices. Every single device that gets broken, it's back in the hands of the student in less than 3 days. And for that, we had to create a repairing network all around the country. And that was not a technical decision, that was a pedagogical decision. We took that decision because we saw that teachers, if teachers went into the classroom and saw that, for example, in a group of 20 kids, six of them haven't the device working, they wouldn't use technology to teach. So we needed to have the devices available so that those skills could be available for our students. Ceibal is weird because it's a government-owned company. So in the board of directors of this company, it is a public company, sits the Minister of Education, the President of the National Administration of Public Education, the Minister of Finance, and myself as the President. And that allows us to level the playing field between the edtech sector, the edtech companies, publishers, and all those providers of the education sector, and the public sector. And we do it through five main areas: technologies for education. So we deliver the devices, the virtual conferencing, the repairs, and the digital ramps. The digital ramps are other devices that are deployed so that disabled kids can use the computers in their favor. We also do educational platforms, so it's software mainly world-class platforms customized for Uruguay. We do that customization. We integrate it with our learning management system. We provide a single sign-on ecosystem where the kids can have all their platforms and all the information is protected there, and at the same time it's available for all the policy makers and decision makers at the education sector. We provide programs, the ones that I told you, like Se Vale en Inglés, which is a video conferencing program through which a remote teacher pairs with a in the classroom teacher, and they deliver the class together, and we run randomized control trials, and we are getting the same effect from a face-to-face lesson with this combination of remote teacher pairing with a face-to-face teacher. And that made us the possibility a reality of having English in every single school in the country and computational thinking for every single kid in the country. We also have educational programs, innovation in terms of pedagogy, teachers' professional development, and an area that is directed to strategic information. So there we have the user experience unit and the behavioral insights unit with the data architecture unit collaborating to see the kind of experiments that we can run to achieve better and better goals. So I told you about accessibility. We may be able, or any country might be able, to deliver devices for every single kid, but then we realize that every kid, or disabled kids, for example, cannot leverage those devices in their favor, so we need an extra layer. I have a video there, but I think that I'll share it afterwards in the matter of the time. The Professional Development Initiative runs open source, massive online courses platform that is free and public for every single school teacher. So there we have massive trainings for all of our teachers, and at the same time we have face-to-face training, trying to bring all these disruptive technologies to the classroom. We have a user experience area. We have noticed and learned that you can provide technologies for the students. Yes, you can provide software, you can provide platforms, but if you're not taking into consideration the quality of the experience the student is getting from using those technological tools, then there is another equity issue. Some students will benefit much more from that than others, and normally are those students who already are better in their metacognitive skills. Data and behavioral science. So we have two main goals with that. Provide data analysis that is user-centered to inform decision-making at the classroom level, at the school level, and at the policy level, and to evaluate programs and implementation of education policies that we deploy. So that's the main goal of our data and behavioral science unit. We also noticed that we were lacking in terms of the knowledge of cognitive science in education. So how we learn matters. And if our teachers don't know the latest research on how to teach and how we learn, or actually because of what we know about how we learn, how we should be transform our teaching, then there is also an equity issue. So we deployed a cognitive science initiative to train all of our teachers, like 100% of our teachers in the country, on the latest research on cognitive science. We have a foundation. Ceibal Foundation is the arm of Ceibal that bonds with the academia. So we run grants and we collaborate with a number of partners. STAN is one of them, for example, where we run experiments, randomized controlled trials in every single new platform and solution that we offer. And that is important because there is not that much research out there on what kind of technologies really help in the education systems. I'll skip that video because I think, I'll still have some minutes, but we'll come back to it later. What we need to address, that's a complex matter. We need to address many challenges at the same time. I was telling you the access to devices, the internet connectivity, the access to platforms, the access to edtech products, the access to new kinds of, let's say, media platforms. We make a lot of training on fake news and how to be a good audience in this age. But right now we have another issue. Artificial intelligence is going to be mainstream in education very soon. It's already being used in so many solutions. Then, if we are not careful and if we are not intentional about bringing this technology to our system, another digital divide may be created. So what we do is operate on the, let's say, certainty that technology is not the answer to all education problems, but it is impossible to imagine a future without technology in education. So this brings us the question, if this is our reality, we need, in every place around the world, I wouldn't say a Ceibal, because it will be different in every single country, but a Ceibal-like organization that is taking care of how these technologies are affecting the future of our kids, how these technologies are being implemented in the classroom so that innovation that maybe not at the edge, as Philippe was presenting, is absolutely well distributed. Part of the aim of our public education systems is making sure that the future is equitably distributed in every single school community in the country. So how are we going to accomplish that if the talent in IT is so scarce, if our teachers don't know how to leverage these technologies in the classroom so that their students can take advantage of these technologies in their life projects to have happy lives in the future. We have several lines. We use behavioral sciences to see how our students are responding to the deployments that we make. So behavioral science are a convergence of economics, psychology, sociology that students study human behavior, and the purpose is an evidence-based approach to human behavior in some aspects. So what we are using is using behavioral perspective to work on how people make decisions in their day-to-day lives in education, how people react depending on how options are presented, and what factors influence human behavior. So it helps us in understanding the how and why we design or redesign our policies and our initiatives. And I'm going to provide some examples afterwards. So why behavioral sciences in education? Well, education is a complex role. Complex and multi-causal problems require diverse approaches, so the behavioral dimension cannot be left out when facing challenges in education, because it's simple and cost-effective in some interventions, and it concentrates some economic efforts on structural barriers. So how we approach educational innovation at Ceibal? So we find a target. We explore all the solutions out there, we find a solution, we make a trial, and then we scale it up. We never try something at Ceibal that we are not sure, we never implement something at Ceibal that we are not sure that it can scale nationally. And that's a totally different approach from other school systems where they are buying and finding solutions at a school level. Like every school has a different solution, but at the same time, this is a great, let's say, environment for EdTech companies that are out there offering solutions to problems that nobody has and end up being in the ecosystem of a school. So having an organization that can funnel all this offering, understand it, make it coherent with the educational system, it's a great advantage in terms of equity at a national level. So here we have the example of the video conference as a learning tool. So through the video conferencing system that is present in every single school in the classroom, we were available to bring scarce talent to every single school in Uruguay. 60% of the lessons that are the English lessons that are taught in Uruguay are taught by foreigners because we don't have enough teachers of English. Yes, we're trying to train them faster, but at some point it's going to be a problem everywhere. I just came from Germany. They're having a great problem with that. In the US it's a problem. I am sure that here is a problem too. Another area where we found that equity has become important is in the educational content. So we, after the pandemic, we noticed that when the pandemic hit, teenagers were not very engaged with the offerings that we could make available. We started trying with TV shows and radio shows, but guess what? Teenagers couldn't care less about TV and radio and all those means. So we tried with social media, like in YouTube and Instagram, trying to put some lessons there with influencers, with different kind of characters. And we were more successful than before with the TV and the radio, but still not successful enough. But we discovered that horror stories are still a thing for teenagers. And we worked with an author. We asked her to write a mystery story, and all of our teenagers, like all the cohort of students around 14 years old, engaged with this content and learned through this content during the school closure. That is true, it was the shortest school closure in whole Latin America because we had the information and we could reopen our system very, very fast, but still, we discovered that there are new types of education content that bring different results, like these horror stories that we deployed for learning. So in terms of very concrete examples of things that have worked for us, so we have these tests, standardized tests, different types of tests, and the response rate was very low. So how we could encourage students to take tests. One of the ways was trying to overcome emotional barriers. If you had, if you watched the video at the beginning with some attention, there was a program that was called Youth to Program, Jóvenes a Programar. It was a coding boot camp that was provided for students 18 years old and beyond. And we found out that women in general were more reluctant to finish this program, and we needed reasons why. So through on WhatsApp messaging tool, we increased the attendance of applicants, and we generated some kind of confidence boost. Yes, it didn't work for all of them, but for the middle of the, let's say, Gauss graph, it was very, very important. The same thing happened with test performance in terms of STEM. We just by providing relaxation and breathing exercises to all the cohort that started the Youth to Program cohort, we increase the finishing, rate. The gender gap was reduced by 80%. Women pass rate increased by 10%. Just by providing this small space to be, let's say, conscious of the feelings that you were having at the beginning of the program. So, and now what for Ceibal and for us? So, working in digital transformation for education, it looks like a perpetual marathon. It's not a sprint. It's not something that we are going to fix. Education is not something that you fix. It's not a technical problem. It's more similar, in my opinion, to democracy. It's something you nurture, you improve, you work, you keep reinventing. Bringing more public policies inspired in the scientific method, build bridges between scientific knowledge and teaching practice, and move from paper and ideas to classroom, and train the trainers. Whatever we want to happen in the classroom is still in the teacher's hands. So the most important technology we have at the service of learning are still teachers. And our teachers are the most important, not only technology, but factor. And how they create technology for education is still very, very relevant. I will bring the presentation to an end now so that we can have some time for questions. I really thank you for your attention. And it's amazing, and I really want to congratulate Collège de France for having these kind of conversations with people from very different disciplines, because education needs the work of all of us to keep improving. So thank you.
Retrouvez tous les contenus du Collège de France sur www.collège-de-france.fr.